Saints turn back the clock. Defense, kicking game, and a win. 2-0 without their leader. The Raging Cajuns win it on the ground, and now they've won four in a row. What did Zion have to say? Pelicans have media day today, and the Tigers drop in the polls, and they didn't even play. Plus, the governor of California signs a bill could affect college football and college sports in general. All these stories and more today, Monday, September 30th, 2019.
Lawrence, time to throw, going up top, looking for T. Higgins, he's got it! Looking back at the quarterback at the 10, and then streaking along the numbers into the end zone. Touchdown, Clemson, 38 yards, Trevor Lawrence to T. Higgins.
Lots of credit to North Carolina and Coach Brown. You can, again, see that he's got them believing in what they're doing and playing with tremendous heart and tremendous effort. But at the end of the day, it's about winning, and we found a way to win the game.
Just inside the one-yard line, Duvernay-Tardif, Wiley, Irving, Ryder up front, along with Schwartz. Kelce tucked in there. Off the right hip, handoff, Darrell Williams trying to dive, touchdown, Kansas City! Darrell Williams gets barely into the end zone with 20 seconds left.
Fournette back in the game, three receivers set, shotgun. Pump fake, they throw to the middle of the field, that ball is caught, Linden for the end zone, and James O'Shaughnessy, touchdown! Minshew to O'Shaughnessy, and Jacksonville has taken the lead.
Two swims out beyond the numbers, right slot, right pairing. Miller and Robinson. Trey Burton flexed to the left boundary. Play clock down to 12 for Chase Daniel in for the injured. Mitch Trubisky out of the gun, takes the snap on second and goal to 10. Clean pocket, throws, coming clean. Cone 5, turns it up, into the end zone, left side, touchdown! Touchdown, Bears!
Good afternoon and welcome, Acadiana. This is the Jordy Helper Show. Great to be with you. Hope you had a wonderful weekend, and away we go. It was a great weekend for the Saints, great weekend for the Raging Cajuns. It was even great for LSU as they got away from the game for a little bit, and now they await Utah State. My main man, CD, back in the master control suite, spinning the tunes, pushing all the buttons, making sure everything running smoothly. We got you covered from coast to coast today. A very busy day, and it's brought to you each and every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets. We've got 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana with one simple goal in mind, to make sure that every customer leaves with a smile on their face. ShopRite Tobacco Plus is going to provide you with cost-competitive fuel, food, snacks, and more. Stop by and see for yourself why ShopRite is the preferred Louisiana convenience provider. It was a good weekend for former Tigers. You heard it in some of the clips. Leonard Fournette had a career-high 225 yards rushing for the Jaguars. How about Foster Moreau, his first career touchdown for the L.A. Raiders? Tyrann Mathieu had a big sack. And Darrell Williams, the game-winning touchdown for the Kansas City Chiefs. And Jarvis Juice Landry with 8 catches, 167 yards for the Browns. But we begin with the New Orleans Saints. Back in the day, Jim Moore was the head coach. He had perhaps the best kicker in NFL history in Morton Anderson. They had the Dome Patrol, the best group of linebackers in league history. They were superb on defense, period. New Orleans won many low-scoring games in which Anderson would kick 4, 5, even 6 field goals. Well, last night in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, it was throwback night. Reminiscent of those games under Moore, and it had to be. Teddy Bridgewater is not the quarterback of the future for the New Orleans Saints. He's just not. He's a game manager. He's not Drew Brees, and we already knew that. But the Saints, they got it done when it mattered. The offensive line had a good performance on the final offensive possession of the evening, but it wasn't enough. It had to come from the defense. And this is one of the reasons why the Saints were such a popular Super Bowl pick before the season. They've got one of the deepest rosters in the NFL. They're not perfect, but they're deep, and they can win in a variety of different ways. And last night in the Dome, it was all about defense. Seven Saint defenders played 90% or more of the snaps. Marcus Williams, 100%. They limited Dallas to only 58 offensive plays for the night. Von Bell, Cam Jordan, Eli Apple, Marshawn Lattimore played 98% of the defensive snaps. A.J. Klein, 95%. DeMario Davis, 91%. So all in all, the Saints held Dallas to just 10 points. 4.8 yards per play, 2.3 yards per carry. They held them to under 24 minutes in time of possession, and they forced three turnovers. So if the defense can keep playing like this, and you saw Drew Brees going through the pregame warmups and doing his thumb, and he says he's going to return sooner rather than later. Wow, if the D can play like this and Drew Brees comes back to 100%, wow. And boy, does TV love the Saints. The Cowboys-Saints game delivered the best NBC Sunday Night Football Week 4 overnight since 2012. The Saints 57%, 74 local rating in New Orleans, the highest on NBC Sunday Night Football since 2013. And all that talk about 50-50 with the crowd, well, that was not accurate at all. The Saints dominated in that. We've got some sound for you and yours, starting with head coach Sean Payton, who liked what he saw in the win against the Cowboys.
I'm sure when we look at the tape, there'll be a number of things that we'll want to improve on, and yet it's a good win against a good opponent, and we'll play in a lot of those close games, and I thought our guys finished well.
Force turnovers, you win the turnover ratio, you play good defense, Sean Payton says that's how you win.
There's sometimes you think that going in and it's the opposite, and then the other times, so I think you're really focused more on the things, the keys that we feel like to win the game are. Winning the turnover ratio, that was a key to victory. Winning the rushing battle, that was a key to victory. And then if you win both of those, you have a really good chance of winning the game, and I thought those were important stats.
3-1. Two of those three wins without Drew Brees, and Saints just kind of figuring out a way to get it done.
We're 3-1. You get back to work. You work on improving. We're still early enough in the year, and I say this, I can't get into all the things that we're still not doing well, and yet we're doing enough to win some of these close games, and that's encouraging. But there's a lot of things fundamentally that we have to improve on, and so fortunately, we're coaching off a win and not a loss and making those corrections.
Teddy Bridgewater, game management, he just does enough. Had an interception. It wasn't his fault. Ted Ginn Jr. should have caught it, bounced off his hands, intercepted out by the Cowboys, but they got it done, and even if it wasn't a Picasso of a performance.
Overall, great team effort. We knew that it was going to be a battle coming into this game. We knew last year we heard about how much more physical they were than us. And we knew coming into this game that we had to be the most physical team. We knew that we had to possess the ball and we had to be good in certain areas of the game. And, of course, we're going to watch the tape tomorrow. There's some areas where you can improve on. I know for myself, taking that last sack on our last drive, taking us out of field goal range, and now making it a field goal game opposed to making Dallas have to drive down and score a touchdown. But in this league, we know how hard it is to win football games, and no one said they had to be pretty.
It wasn't pretty, but it was a W. And if you're into statistics, don't talk to Teddy Bridgewater. That's not what he's all about at all.
I base everything around my past couple years. The past couple years, I had zero stats. The stat box had zero in every column. But the one stat that did add up for me over the past couple of years were the W's. I was winning in life. So whenever I approached the game with that mindset, like, man, I'm not playing this game for the numbers. I don't care to impress anyone, you know, sorry to say it, fantasy teams and things like that. But, you know, I play this game for those guys in that locker room.
That's what I love to hear. We'll hear from Billy Napier later on in the program. Ed Orgeron had his weekly press luncheon after taking last week off, and he addressed what's on everybody's mind. It shouldn't be. It is what it is. You play when they tell you to play. But here's O addressing the 11 a.m. kickoff this Saturday against Utah State.
Well, first of all, I do believe that Saturday night in Death Valley is a great experience for both sides. And it's a great advantage for us. And the more we can play Saturday night in Tiger Stadium, the better off we are. But scheduling is out of our control, so we'll never make an excuse for it. I do believe that Derek told me the last of our last six games, three of them start at 11 a.m. This is the third one that starts at 11 a.m., and we've been very successful in those 11 a.m. games. So we're going to continue with our game plan. Do I wish it was at night at Tiger Stadium? Yes, I do. But there's nothing we can do about it, so we're going to make the best of that.
Make the best of it. Oh, by the way, Coach O, when Florida comes to town for the first time in what seems like a century, you'll get your night game. ESPN announced they will have the LSU-Florida game a week from this Saturday at 7 p.m. CBS opted to take Alabama at Texas A&M, foregoing a matchup of two teams ranked in the top 10. Head scratcher. I thought for sure LSU-Florida would be a 2:30 Saturday afternoon game. More on that later. The most important aspect coming out of the bye week, what's the health, starting with Kalyvon Chaisson?
He's still a little gimpy. I mean, he's not 100% back yet.
All
he
right.
tried to practice last week. He did a couple of things. He's going to practice again today, but he's limited. We're going to see where we can get with him this week. We definitely need him for the pass rush. And if he's healthy, we're going to play him. But I don't know if he's going to be ready.
Don't know if he's going to be ready. What about Lawrence and Logan, Coach O?
Rashard Lawrence is going to try some individual today. He's still a little gimpy. So Michael Divinity is going to practice today. He's still a little gimpy. So we're going to have to see as the week goes to see if these guys are going to be ready.
All right. Can they get it done against Utah State? We'll talk about them later on and get everybody back ready and healthy for Florida. All right, first time out of the day. We've got Bob Rose talking Saints. Nick Fontenot talking Raging Cajuns with their 37-24 win over Georgia Southern. Ollie Cassell will join us at the bottom of this hour. It's media day for the Pelicans. Hour number two, Hot Topics, Brooks Cabina on the Tigers, Ross Dellinger with a bill signed by the California governor, plus Clemson wins but loses. All these guests and much, much more. Busy Monday. Glad you're with us. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
I mean, I'd love to feel like I can dial up a 9-minute drive anytime I want to. You're going to have to have some balance there. So I think certainly that kind of put advantage back in our court relative to the time.
Sean Payton, after the 15-play drive that covered 67 yards, took 9:02 of the clock, but again, Saints had to settle for a field goal. Will Lutz converted from 29 yards out to give the Saints a 12-10 lead. That would be the final, but they'd have to sweat out the last 13:41 of the ball game. Bob Rose of Canal Street Chronicles joins us as he does each and every Monday to recap the Saints' experience. And Bob, I tell you what, that was a throwback game to the Jim Mora days of great defense and Morton Anderson, the Dome Patrol and Morton Anderson. But this time it was DeMario Davis and Marshawn Lattimore and Will Lutz getting it done. I don't care what it looks like. The win is the win.
Yeah, it sure was. And thanks for having me on, Jordy. And I hope our Who Dat Nation is doing very well. First of all, they wouldn't be the Saints if they didn't raise our blood pressure and make us sweat it out right until the final minutes. But yes, throwback game is exactly how I would how I referred to it in my morning recap article this morning. And they really did kind of channel the ghosts of the Dome Patrol and Morton Anderson and that Jim Mora era. The Saints defensively controlled the game, and that's the easiest and simplest way that we can put it. Don't take anything away from the Cowboys. They're extremely talented on offense.
Yes.
One of the more talented offensive lines in the league. Dak Prescott was on a roll. And like you pointed out, Lattimore did such a spectacular job against Amari Cooper. He really reverted back to that 2017 Defensive Rookie of the Year form. And Lattimore does play his best when he's asked to, hey, this is their best guy. Go get him. We'll take care of everything else. And that's exactly what he did. I know Amari still had 5 catches, but they were for a minimal total, I think about 48 or 49 yards. And Cooper really couldn't get free of Lattimore all game. That whole secondary, I was really impressed with how they played. But it was keyed by the performance of both Lattimore and Von Bell.
No question. Bob Rose, Canal Street Chronicles, you talk about that, then you limit Ezekiel Elliott to 35 yards on 18 carries, the 30th straight game, counting the postseason, that the Saints haven't allowed an opposing player to rush for 100 yards. That's a heck of a stat. The defense comes up with 3 big turnovers, so the Saints won that battle 3-1. I mean, I guess this is why, I mean, they're so deep. You get Rankins back. He looked good in the limited time that he played. My goodness gracious, if the defense keeps playing like this, you know the special teams are really, really good. Then when Breeze comes back, I can see why a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously we hope that Drew Breeze doesn't feel the need to rush back out onto the field, although the competitor that he is, it's no doubt what's going through his mind. But Breeze has always been the great equalizer for Sean Payton and the Saints crew. They can win games. They've been able to win games when they've lost the turnover battle or when the defense has given up some points. But they have no such luxury now. Give credit to every single member on that Saints roster. They're really stepping up. You just pointed out how well Rankins and that defensive line played, and I honestly thought that they were the key to the game. We mentioned in the opening how well the Saints secondary played, and they did, but it was helped due to the fact that they were able to get pressure on Dak Prescott without necessarily having to bring a blitz, which allowed Dennis Allen to kind of mix up his coverages outside of Lattimore and Cooper one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say he confused Dak Prescott, but they certainly were able to limit yards after the catch and all but eliminate the big play down the field. That defensive front, again, they stonewalled that Dallas offensive line. And when you hold Ezekiel Elliott to 35 yards, and it's not like these Cowboys gave up on the run either. They stayed as patient as they could with it. Elliott just couldn't find any room going. And, since the Saints defense was stonewalling those blockers up front, that allowed Demario Davis and A.J. Klein, who I also thought each had outstanding games, when Elliott was able to break into the open field, they brought him down immediately. That was a terrific one-on-one matchup between Davis and Elliott all night, too.
Maybe there's a silver lining to every dark cloud. I think with Drew Brees being out, the leadership on that defense, and Dennis Allen said, look, we're not going to be scoring 30 points a game anymore. We got to tighten up the hatches. We got to get really aggressive because it may take us holding a team to 10 points to get a win. And so that might be the silver lining. Now they've got all the confidence in the world, and they're going to need it. How surprised were you with Tampa Bay going to L.A. and beating the Rams in the fashion that they did?
I was very surprised. We know from seeing Tampa Bay, year in and year out, twice a year, what kind of offensive weapons that they have. And I've always been impressed with Bruce Arians as a coach in general, but especially on the offensive side. So I wasn't surprised that Tampa put up yards and points on the Rams. I was surprised that their defense is really starting to come around. And they lost a lot of defensive faces that were veterans on that Tampa Bay team over the years. in the offseason, and the defense is starting to come together. They gave up a whole lot of points against the Rams, don't get me wrong, but they're making plays to kind of swing the momentum. And you know, just like we've seen from Drew Brees and the Saints offense for so many years, you know, going into a game with Brees, an opponent would realize, hey, we have to score 30 points against these guys or we're not going to win. All the Saints defense would have to do is just make a play or two here or there, and that usually tips the scales. And that's kind of where Tampa is right now. Don't sleep on this defense. They're not the type of defense that's going to hold you to 12 points like Dallas did last night. But they can make turnovers and put pressure on the passer.
Bob Rose, Canal Street Chronicle. So you got Tampa Bay this weekend at home. Then it's two road games at Jacksonville and at Chicago before a home game with Arizona and then the bye. 3-1 as we speak. Is 5-3 realistic, or can you get better than that?
I think you can get better than that. Chicago, and I haven't heard the extent of Mitch Trubisky's injury, but he went down yesterday, and he wasn't playing overly impressive football as it is. That Chicago Bears offense looks extremely limited to me. Now, the defense, if I had to pick one defense in the league to go into battle with, all other things being equal, I'd probably choose Chicago's. So that defense is certainly something to be reckoned with. And it's the same down in Jacksonville. I know everybody wants to talk about how well Minshew is playing and how well Leonard Fournette is running the ball. And while both of those things are true, Jacksonville is still winning the game on the defensive side of the ball. Even with Jalen Ramsey back and forth on, I want to be traded today, I don't want to be traded tomorrow, I think I'm going to sit out today, or maybe I'm going to play. They have some defensive playmakers down in Jacksonville too. So those are not going to be easy road games whatsoever. And Jordan, how Sean Payton and these Saints leaders are approaching this season in general. They're taking it one week at a time, and especially an important divisional opponent like Tampa Bay. It all starts with winning the games in your division, and they New Orleans have yet to play a divisional game, so they know how important this is, and they also know that Tampa Bay has given them fits in the past, even in the Superdome.
Yes.
We remember what they did to them last year. So these guys are coming ready to play, but I don't disagree with you. I think that 5-3 is totally within the realm. In fact, I think at this stage it should be a minimum expectation. Can they do better than that? With the way this squad is playing in all three phases, I absolutely believe they can.
Bob Rose, Canal Street Chronicle, joins us every Monday. We greatly appreciate it, buddy. You're good luck, so we'll talk about it next week, all right?
That works for me. I'm glad to be somebody's good luck charm. I appreciate it.
All right. That Saints report brought to you by Peterbilt. Peterbilt of Louisiana. It's the envy of every truck driver. They want to own a Peterbilt. They maintain their position as a class of the industry because they provide high maintenance, high performance, low maintenance, and extremely durable vehicles that pay off in low operating costs. Peterbilt of Louisiana. Back with the Raging Cajun report next.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Good team win. Certainly, defensively in particular, I thought our guys were outstanding. They challenge you to play disciplined football. I thought our guys communicated well, certainly got aligned correctly. And for the most part, we tackle well. I think they had 90 yards, I think, at the half. And we really gave them a couple cheap scores with the muff punts.
A couple of fumbles here and there kind of put a damper. But, hey, a win is a win. And the Raging Cajuns beat Georgia Southern 37-24. They're now 4-1 overall. That Mississippi State game in the opener seems like a distant past. They've won four in a row. They'll have the weekend off. They'll get ready for App State next Wednesday at home. Nick Fontenot of the Daily Advertiser, kind enough to join us to recap another Raging Cajun win. Ever since we've been getting you on, Nick, The Cajuns are winning, big boy, so we got to keep this up. Billy Napier won't let you get away from us. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing well, and so are the Cajuns. They're rolling right now.
They win. We thought whoever did what they do best and does it better is the team that's going to win the ball game. And the Raging Cajuns had 291 yards on the ground in 41 attempts. Georgia Southern had 207 yards in 54 attempts. So the Cajuns won on the ground. Cajuns win on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I mean, that's the strength of the team. That's what we talk about every week, you know, being able to get those running backs as many carries as possible. They were able to do that, and they picked up a big win. And defensively, probably their best defensive game of the year. They looked really strong. They were able to contain that triple option and didn't give them much trouble. You know, it's a team. Georgia Southern is a team that's hard to plan for. It's different. You're out of your routine. You're not doing your normal things that you do for a normal offense. It's hard, and they can sometimes catch teams off guard. But that's not what they did. And the Cajuns were able to keep on rolling, keep on winning, and now, you know, looking ahead to probably with the biggest game of the year so far.
Yeah, no question. App State is right around the corner. Are we looking for a new punt return? I hate to single out somebody, but poor Eric Garrar had two fair catches, and he muffed both of them, and that gave up some easy scores. Are we going to have a tryout for punt returner now for the Cajuns?
I don't think so. I think Napier's going to stick with Garrar, and he said that, you know, Eric's had a couple of big plays this year, a couple of returns that went for long games that got called back, and a couple of returns that were nice that stood, and he's been doing a good job. He had a couple of mistakes on Saturday, but I think that's one thing that Napier does is he just believes in his guys and he sticks with them. They make a couple of mistakes. He's not going to give up on them. And I think today at the press conference, he kind of doubled down on Garrar and said, you know, we're not going to make a change at that spot. So yeah, you know, the kid made a few mistakes, but I think his coach has his back and that could build some confidence moving forward for him as well.
That's awesome. Ragas had 131 yards on the ground. Mitchell had 97. The Raging Cajuns come up with 440 yards of total offense. And Billy Napier said, listen to this soundbite that we have, that they met every goal they wanted when they had the ball.
And then, you know, you start looking at offense. We rushed the ball and threw the ball effectively. We basically met every goal that we have outside of the points total. And that was a little bit of a product of only having four possessions in the first half.
They scored on six of their seven possessions for the game. And Levi Lewis, again, 10 of 17, the most important stat, no interceptions, threw for a buck 49, just kind of playing within himself, Nick.
And the one thing he did better in this game than he's done all year long is he went deep. He had a couple of balls that went deeper than most of his passes have gone this year. That's one thing that they wanted to emphasize and improve on, and Lewis was able to go down the field a little bit for some big gains. So he's progressively getting better. You know, I think it might be a little slower than people wanted to see. You know, people thought he would be, you know, maybe lighting up the scoreboard at this point, and he's not quite there yet. But he is getting better, and you can see him getting better. You know, every week he's a little bit better than he was the previous week. And, you know, yeah, it's not going as fast as we thought. He's not, you know, progressing as quickly, but he is progressing, and it's definitely, you can definitely see that he's better today than he was in week one, and that's pretty much all you can ask for.
We're talking with Nick Fontenot, the advertiser, and when they do pass it, they spread the ball around. Bradley with two catches, Bell with two, Ralston with two, Jackson with one, LeBlanc with one, Gossett with one. So, I mean, pick your poison, right? I mean, they're spreading the wealth around a little bit. That keeps everybody happy.
Yeah, I mean, he has so many weapons, Lewis does, and the offense as a whole. You know, with your running game having three, you know, main running backs that need touches, that need the ball, they're able to get them all the touches you want. And when you talk about the passing game, all the guys you mentioned, that doesn't even include, you know, Bam Jackson, who was one of the leading receivers. He's been kind of injured the last couple of weeks and hasn't been able to get in there too. So yeah, it's a ton of options for Levi Lewis, and that, I think that's the big reason why you have seen that improvement, is that he can go to his second, third, and fourth read sometimes, and when he goes to that fourth read, he's not going to a scrub player. He's going to a player, a dynamic player that can make a play, that can bust a big gain, or somebody he trusts really good. So yeah, it is pick your poison with the offense, and they're rolling right now. They're playing at the highest level that they played all year. And as you get ready for the Appalachian State game, that's what you want to see, is everything clicking on all cylinders. And I think the Cajuns are doing that right now.
I mentioned this last week. Billy Napier mentioned it today. They've won four in a row. They're really playing well. They get a home game, midweek game. Listen to what Napier said to the Raging Cajun family.
It's time, you know, for people to show up, you know, and really make a statement about how committed we are. You know, this is a group of young men and a time that, you know, I think that, you know, we're going to play on national television and ESPN2 and the type of atmosphere that we can create. You know, I think our fans realize this, but they can impact the game. And we certainly have made progress there. Each and every home game so far this season has gotten better and better. But Wednesday night, you know, our students, our fans, against a terrific opponent on a national stage, it doesn't get much better than that.
Amen, right? I mean, maybe get some of those baseball fans to show up. Start grilling outside. They need to. If not now, when, Nick? When?
He's absolutely right. And it was very nice to see him actually say that, because I think in the past he's kind of shied away from comments like that, where, you know, he just wants to let the fans do it on their own, and he doesn't want to really get out in front and kind of, for lack of a better word, you know, ask the fans to come out there. That's not really his game. But I think he saw now that maybe the fans needed to hear it from him, because some of the turnouts this year have been downright embarrassing. I mean, this is a team that is a winning football team, and it's always an excuse. It's hot, or it's raining, or LSU's playing Texas, or whatever the case may be, to the Cajuns fans not to get out there. Enough's enough. It's time for, if you're a Cajuns fan, if you're, you know, one of these people who want a winner and want to support a team and want to support a guy like Billy Napier, it's time for you to come out and support the team. I think the team is longing for a nice crowd, a nice 25, 28,000 crowd that they used to get in the early days of the Mark Huspeth era. We haven't seen that yet with Billy Napier here. This team is playing as well as we've seen the Cajuns play in a long time, and they're playing the biggest game of the year on national TV. If they don't come out now, I don't see a game where they're going to come out. So, like I said, it was nice to see Napier get out in front and kind of say, hey, look, guys, it's time, and the time is now.
Maybe the third time's a charm, right? You played them twice a year ago, including in the inaugural conference championship game. Wasn't successful, but now you get them on your turf, and you're playing very well. And defense is the key, I think. Your running game's going to be fine, but if the defense can continue to play like they're playing, now you got a shot.
Yeah, the defense has played really well, and they're playing about as good as they played all year, and that's good to see, and they're going to need every bit of it, because that Appalachian State offense is tough. They have two really good playmakers. They have a dual-threat quarterback, and they're going to give the Cajuns fits, even though it's a home game. But I think, you know, like you said, they played them twice last year. They came up short both times, and the coaches and the players are saying the right things. You know, it's just another game, and all those things that coaches and players normally say when they don't want to become bulletin board material. But this is a big game. This is the biggest game of the year, no doubt about it, and they want to get this win. The Cajuns have never beat Appalachian State. The Cajuns have only a handful of 5-1 starts in program history. I mean, this, everything is kind of like, felt like it's been building up to this game, building up to this moment, the rematch between Appalachian State and a chance to wrong some of those, right some of those wrongs that happened last year. So make no mistake about it. They can say whatever they want. They can pretend whatever they want. This is a gigantic game, and everybody needs to be on board with it.
Absolutely, no question. All, and Raging Cajuns, in your sports information department, you're listening in right now. We got a pretty good fan base that listens into this show. We'd love to have Billy Napier on. And if I was Billy Napier, I'd be saying it every day. We need the fans to come out, and I'd get more authoritative. I'd get more demonstrative. I would get more energetic about it. I mean, Billy, come on, light a fire, big guy. Like when you pregame talk, give a pregame talk to the fan base, and let's pack that place. It's great for recruiting. It helps you win ball games, and this is your rival. So, I mean, if not now, when? It's all I can say. Nick, thank you, buddy. How are they going to handle this bye week? I mean, are they going to take a couple of days off? What's the plan?
Yeah, it's definitely a different routine than normal. You know, they're going to They're going to have a couple of extra days to practice and prepare for Appalachian State. It's not going to be your normal routine. But as Napier has said in the past, he doesn't care where they play, when they play, what time they play. If you're a competitor, you're going to be ready to play. And even Josh Boudreau, who is the Sun Belt Defensive Player of the Week, he talked to us today at the press conference, and he said the same thing. He doesn't care when the game is. Nobody cares when the game is. So the routine may be a little off, but when they put the ball down, they're going to be ready to play, and that's going to happen next Wednesday at Cajun Field.
Give them a couple of days off, rest, recoup, and then come back ready to go. And let's pack Cajun Field. Billy, you're welcome to come on the show. We'll give you the forum, and I'll get you fired up, and you'll get the fan base in there. Nick Fontenot of the Advertiser. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you. Man, we'll talk next week. How about that?
That'll work, Joey. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, you're the best. Thank you very much. Yes, got to get the fans out there. Billy, you're welcome. Come on. We'd love to have you on. We'll take a quick time out here. Zion met the press. How did that go? Pelicans Media Day. Our good correspondent, Ali Cassell, joins us next to give us all the scoop. Here on the Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
NBA hoops right around the corner. The New Orleans Pelicans head their annual media day. They'll have their first practice tomorrow. Ali Cassell, editor-in-chief for At The Bird, writes, one of our NBA correspondents, kind enough to join us to talk about Media Day today. I guess the big question, Ali, is, and thank you for your time on a very busy and hectic day, how big of a smile did Zion have when he came and talked to you guys?
That was one of the first things I noticed, actually. He walked in the room, and of course, I've got to precept this by saying that Lonzo Ball was just walking out. He had just wrapped up. So I have to guarantee you that knowing the banter that these two have supposedly had behind the scenes, that he probably said something to Zion. But regardless, Zion did. He walked in beaming, you know, from ear to ear. And it's something unusual because in past media days, Jordan, you know, you've covered him as well. It's kind of just been a routine for the players to go through. I mean, obviously you're excited for the new season, but there's really just this genuine emotion exuding out of the Pelicans this season. Practically all the players, you know, they're making jokes. Literally every single one had a like a little personal story for us. What's a joke? Uh-huh. But Zion, you're right. He took it to a whole new level. So it's almost a 180, you know, and it's great to see. But it's a 180 from what we're used to. You know, specifically, I'm referring to Anthony Davis. You know, while he's a great kid, and, you know, Anthony Davis kind of lived life by trying to make all the do the right things, make the right decisions. He never exuded that charisma. You know, that was always missing. Everybody always wanted more from him from a personality standpoint. And you know what? Zion has it.
Zion has it, but everyone is touting Jrue Holiday. How does Jrue react to David Griffin, Alvin Gentry, teammates all saying this is an MVP type of a player who could have an MVP type of a year? How is Jrue handling all this now that Anthony Davis is gone? And it truly is. He's the focal point of the team at this point in time.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Jordy. Jrue has always been kind of very reserved and laid back, but I don't think I've ever seen him really at ease and at peace with the role that he's facing for the upcoming season. Of course, this is going to be the biggest one yet of his career. Everybody is looking him to be that leader, to be the captain, as Lonzo Ball referred to him as being the captain, and that everybody else is here to help him, help an all-star, perform well and get the Pelicans in the win column more times than not. And it's just great to see. Everybody really does. It's not just David Griffin that has basically circled the wagons, said this is a legitimate MVP candidate, and everybody has to recognize this, but all the players are speaking the same tune. And so it's unusual. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody is geared mm-hmm. up. Everybody knows their roles. And they haven't even played a game, well, at least in front of our eyes. I know they've been working out now for almost a month, a lot of them, but true basketball has not started yet. But like I said, everybody else is kind of already knows where they fall on the hierarchy and on the ladder. So it's great to see. And like I said, Jrue has really taken to this role. He knows that he doesn't speak up too often. He loves to lead by example, but then he gave us a few examples of how he does handle this. So it's just great to see Jordy. It looks like he really, truly has taken to heart what Griffin and everybody else has been preaching. So let's see. Maybe he does have an MVP kind of year for the Pelicans.
Ali Cassell at the Bird writes, Lonzo Ball has recently come out and said, I'm controlling everything now. You really can't tell me what to do. It's my life, my career. I'm making all the decisions. Hashtag his dad, LeVar. Maybe great thing that he's gotten away from L.A. and now he's in the real L.A., Louisiana. Your thoughts on Lonzo, how he handled things today?
Oh, Lonzo was fantastic as well, Jordy. I mean, really all the players were, right? But there's few that had excess baggage, and obviously nobody has carried more weight since entering this league than Lonzo. I mean, he is just 21 years old. He went to college in front of all the Californians' eyes over at Berkeley. And then, of course, you've got his NBA career, which began with the Los Angeles Lakers. Not a bigger market in the league. And then, of course, those eyes and all that coverage got bigger when LeBron James joined the team. And as you just alluded to, he's always had his dad and his family in the corner. So he seems really free. He seems very understanding of what's expected. He doesn't seem at all, you know, disappointed at being traded away. Unlike, I don't know if everybody remembers Eric Gordon. And there's been other players in the past that when they learned that they were traded to New Orleans, they just weren't happy about it. Lonzo has nothing but praise for this team, for his opportunity. And I think he understands he's here to play basketball. He wants to be a great basketball player, and New Orleans is going to be able to do that. And he's going to be surrounded by a lot of teammates that he loves. He's already talked about this chemistry that he's building with Zion, for instance. So it's going to be crazy fun to watch how many times these guys connect in a game for some of those spectacular highlight dunks that we're sure to see.
Lonzo, so just throw it anywhere near the backboard, and Zion will get it. I gotta imagine that Brandon Ingram, being away from the game, he was hurt. Maybe he has a better appreciation of the game now, and maybe the best is yet to come from him as well.
Yeah, he started off his little press conference to the media with the questions by simply saying, hey, look, I really think I cherish the sport a little bit more now. I was 5 months. I wasn't able to pick up a basketball. And as we know, he was kind of coming into his own as a player. So to suddenly have that taken away where he was talked about, you know, as one of the better players in the league, he was averaging about, I don't know, 23 points, about 6 rebounds, about 4 assists, shooting the ball really well. And he was really that second support to LeBron right after the All-Star break last year. But it only lasted for 15 games before, as we all know, that blood clot that ended his season prematurely. Well, he's, you know, the biggest thing I saw to him was relief, Jordy. Relief that not only he's now, you know, on a good team where he's going to be given that opportunity, because as we know, Lakers were kind of a tire fire. They clashed a lot.
Right.
And of course, the injury came up. But he's also showing that relief from, hey, he wasn't sure if he would actually play basketball again. He said he had heard a lot of things about, and he said, personally, I felt like I was hurting. You know, I felt my chest hurt some days, my back hurt right after the injury popped up. So he wasn't even sure if he'd be able to play again. But now he knows he's past all that. He's past all the hurdles. He has no restrictions. So he's going to be able to take off, you know, hopefully right out of training camp in the preseason to jump into what should be his best campaign yet as an NBA player.
Ali Cassell at the Bird writes, I'm interested. Alvin Gentry in a perfect world is just going to be the Phoenix Suns of Steve Nash days coming down to New Orleans where, I mean, it's run and gun. Is that the plan in place?
That is the plan. And that's all we've heard really out of Griff and Gentry when they are talking strategy. Look, they know that they're not going to be the Golden State Warriors or maybe the Houston Rockets, some other team that can really shoot from the outside, really light up the scoreboard with their jumpers, right? Mm-hmm. The Pelicans are built differently. Right. They're going to be fast, young, athletic, and as Alvin said, we've never been longer here in New Orleans. So they're going to try and use that to their advantage. And, of course, the best way to do it, is, of course, to dominate on defense, which they're expecting. Alvin's saying, hey, we're not only going to be a top 10 defensive team, I think we can be top 5 today. So not only that, they're going to be able then to run.
Okay.
They need to score out in the break. So, yeah, I've heard a lot of Suns. We're probably going to be hearing it all season compared to him, Nash, you know, anything that's 7 seconds or less.
I love it. Ali Cassell at the Bird writes, thank you for your time today, my friend. I greatly appreciate it. Hour number one's in the books. Hour number two, we're talking Tigers. We're talking college football. and, of course, Hot Topics here on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana's sports station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans.
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Our number two of two, and away we go on this Monday, the last day of September. September the 30th, the year 2019. Hope you're having a spectacular afternoon. Thanks so much for making us a part of it. CD back in the Master Control Suite in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, which houses KLWB, which is 103.7 The Game. This hour brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana. They are America's premium quality heavy-duty truck manufacturer. They maintain this enviable position as the class of the industry by concentrating on delivering high-performance, low-maintenance, and extremely durable vehicles that pay off in low operating costs, driver productivity, and high resale value. It's the dream of every trucker to own a Peterbilt. And you have opportunities in Lafayette, Lake Charles, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans. New truck sales, used truck sales, leasing. We have a parts department and a service department that is top shelf. Peterbilt of Louisiana. Derek Favors met the media today and he told a story. Derek is a member of the New Orleans Pelicans, came from Utah. He's an Atlanta native and a Falcons fan. He said he realized people in the Crescent City take their football seriously. CD told a story about how he told his Uber driver that he was a Falcons fan. Hit the brakes. The Uber driver stopped the car, told him, "Get out of here." Here we go. Take our daily walk around the sports water cooler, please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious. Decidedly better.
Derek Favors learned his lesson. Good afternoon, CD. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Jordy. After a weekend where we saw the Cajuns win, the Saints win, and now we get ready.
The Cardinals win. The Cardinals win. Yes, they're in the playoffs.
They clinched the Central. Cubbies. They clinched the Central. How about that?
Yes. Yes, you know, before 9-0 against the – yeah, go ahead.
Before we kind of get into the NFL, Jordy, you brought me down that path. You brought up the Cubbies, and you see Joe Maddon get DOS boot, only a few years removed from winning the World Series. Isn't it crazy that we're kind of getting to this mode of sports now, not just in a baseball, but across all spectrums, where if you're not winning, you're out of there.
I mean, didn't he win him a World Series for the first time in, like, forever? And that was just a couple years ago. And, they won their division several years in a row. This is the first time they didn't make the playoffs, and he's gone. Maybe it was a mutual agreement. It had to be. Somebody's going to scoop up Joe Maddon. Probably the New York Mets is going to scoop him up, or somebody's going to, because he's good at what he does, and I'm sorry. I have no sympathy for the Cubbies and Bill Epstein. Sorry. Go ahead, Redbirds. Let's go. Astros open up when? On Friday? Is that correct?
They open up on Friday, the worst possible night for us, Jordy, is the fact that we've got all the high school football going on. If only we had one team in particular that could have, you know, taken the night off and played on a Thursday night instead of Friday night. We would have been able to air it. But, you know, it is what it is.
What are we going to do?
I know we'll definitely be airing game two right here on 103.7 The Game, not long after the LSU game at 11 a.m. So, hey, you'll be able to kind of enjoy it all right here on 103.7 The Game. The best of both worlds.
What does that do to Under the Dome on Saturday with an 11 o'clock kickoff? You get the day off?
Well, we'll bridge the gap, Jordy. Under the Dome will bridge the gap between LSU and the Astros, of course, if there is one.
Okay.
Because you know these games nowadays, Jordy, these games can last like 4 or 5 hours. And I definitely could wind up putting a wrench in that, but that's kind of the game plan we have in place. We did it a couple weeks ago. Worked out quite well.
Good.
But now we're going to flip it on over
to
the NFL. And, Jordy, the biggest question I got to ask you right out the gate is this the year of the backup quarterback?
Oh, my God. It seems like everybody is. Chase Daniel of Chicago. You got Teddy Bridgewater. You got
Kyle
Buffalo.
Allen.
Oh, he was pretty bad. Kyle Allen's doing it. Yeah, it might be. It's the transfer in college. It's the backup in the NFL. Man.
It's just amazing crazy to see Chase Daniel.
But there's such a drop-off. I mean, is it Cam Newton? They might be telling Cam in his ear, you're not 100%. Let's sit out a little. Sit out another week. We want you back when you're healthy.
And then they'll never tell him he's healthy.
That's right. Until
Kyle Allen starts losing. Exactly. You play the hot hand. I mean, you look what's going on with the Jaguars. They've got an interesting predicament on their hands. Obviously, Nick Foles got injured week one. And now Minshew Mania has started to take over the whole.
He's good.
It's amazing.
He's good.
And he's got the best mustache in the game.
I mean, but Denver, please, can you stop somebody late in the game? How many games have they lost this season late to a field goal because they can't get off the field? They can't stop anybody. It's just ridiculous. What's more ridiculous, though, and you're probably going to get to this. I'm going to beat you to it. I'm so glad that they put the hammer on Vontaze Burfict, the dirtiest player in football. He needs to be gone and never play again. Goodbye.
Tired of him. Get him out of the league altogether. But I love the fact that everybody and their mama is putting out memes about Vontaze Burfict being suspended for a year by the NFL. And then a gif of Vince McMahon in the XFL strutting on over, getting ready to get Vontaze Burfict over to the XFL for that name brand.
Perfect. Hey, by the way, I saw the most incredible violent hit ever in that Rams-Tampa Bay game when who was it? The cornerback intercepted it and took it for a touchdown. He was upset that Tampa Bay with Mike Evans was doing that little thing where, he's all alone for a touchdown, and instead of going into the end zone, he kind of runs parallel to it and then does the dance and all that. So he's a little ticked off. He gets over the goal line, and he's about 180 pounds, and some guy had to be 350. That's the only sport where there's no weight class, a violent sport where there's no weight. You don't see a heavyweight fighting a featherweight. You know what I mean?
You never
do. So there's a heavyweight, huge dude hitting this small guy. I don't know how he got up. I don't know how he got up. I really don't.
Yeah, dude, I did not see that hit, but I can about imagine that was a rough one, Jordy. It was just amazing to see everything that happened on Sunday in terms of the NFL, just all the way around. We saw the Baker Mayfield looked really good. The Browns starting to turn things around a little bit, but kind of more towards the NFL, Jordy. When it comes to the Saints and the Cowboys game, are you definitely going to become more concerned for this Sunday's game against Tampa? Because you talked about the Bucs-Rams game.
Yeah.
The Bucs put up 50 points.
Yeah.
Are you concerned about that?
What's that all about?
Or was that because of the fact that maybe...
What's more surprising?
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Finish your thought.
Go ahead, Jordy. Go ahead. I'll let you get to it.
Well, what's more surprising, what Tampa did or the fact that Atlanta just keeps falling behind by two or three touchdowns, like in the first quarter? What's more surprising?
I think it's
I don't get Atlanta. I don't get them.
I think it's the fact that Atlanta has just been that team where since 28-3 happened, they have not been able to get out of their own way. And it's starting to happen in a big way after kind of all those offseason changes that they made. And now you're sitting there and you're kind of just spinning your tires at this point, 1-3 on the year. Dan Quinn, it feels like he is on the hottest seat of them all. And that's crazy to think about from just a few. Yeah. But my thing about the Rams game, Jordy,
I think the Patriots took their soul, man. I think they've never recovered from that. I really do. They are not the same team. You got Matt Ryan and MVP. You got Julio Jones, and that's all you got? I don't know. But Tampa seems to come up with one of those type of games every year. then they go back into the abyss. I'm hoping that's the case.
I hope that's the case too, Jordy. And when you just look at that game, I feel like it was more to do with the fact that the Rams defense wasn't really there in this one. It feels like the Rams defense, they're always allowing these kind of games. We look back last year with the 55-50 ball game with that prolific Chiefs offense. So there's a lot of things that we can say about that one, but it makes you wonder, Jordy.
Yeah. Well, Kansas City can play bad, and they're still going to score 30. I mean, Mahomes can be pitiful, but they're still going to score 30. But the Rams, their offense looked bad. I mean, that's a team that completely overlooked Tampa by the Bay. They thought they had them, and they just, whoa, all of a sudden, look out. They've got some talented players. They got a good coach now. So, yeah, I'm back to your original statement. I'm very worried about Tampa Bay. The Saints coming off two emotional wins back-to-back. And now here comes Tampa Bay, and you're thinking, but it's a division game. Now it's up to Sean Payton to get these guys ready to go, unlike Sean McVay, who didn't get the Rams ready to play on Sunday.
Exactly, Jordy. And before we wrap up here, I'm going to jump to something that I saw on Friday night, and I want to get your thoughts on this. The NFL dropped their 100 greatest games. I believe it was they finished at 31. And the one game in particular that I'm really upset about when it comes to where it was ranked, Jordy, was the Saints Super Bowl win, Super Bowl 44. According to the NFL's top 100 games of all time, this was ranked 97th, Jordy. 97th. That is absolutely ridiculous and unacceptable.
They can think what they want. All that matters to us is what's near and dear in our hearts. And to us, that's the greatest NFL game ever. Plain and simple. Because we won and we were in it. And the only time we have been. So, end of subject. Boom, there you go. All right, there's your Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. You know, the B-Art family's been in St. Martinville, and they've been putting out this great hot sauce for nearly 90 years. Think about that, 90 years. Yeah, the bottle has changed, and the printing on the label has changed, but the hot sauce remains the same because they use the finest spices, the finest peppers, and they mix it all together. Voila. So do yourself a flavor. Bring a small bottle of Cajun Chef Hot Sauce with you wherever you go. Everything tastes better with Cajun Chef Hot Sauce on it. Tigers had the weekend off, but they're getting ready for Utah State. Pretty good quarterback, pretty good ball club. We'll get injury reports, and we'll tell you what Coach O did over the weekend with Brooks Cabina of The Advocate next. Yes, indeed. Back to the show we go. And this is the station that just always keeps giving and giving and giving. And don't forget, coming up tomorrow, the Opelousas Rotary Club auction, October 1st, 6 to 10 p.m., live on KDCG-TV. Hundreds of items will be available to bid on, everything from furniture, sports memorabilia, household items, hair care, vacation packages, gift certificates, home decor, and much more. Call in tomorrow, October 1st. Get a head start and save on those Christmas presents. Most gift certificates will sell 50 to 80% off, and all the proceeds go to charitable causes. The Opelousas Rotary Club auction, October 1st, KDCG. And don't forget about the Houston Astros giveaway. Yes, the ALDS is starting up this Friday. You can win a pair of tickets to games 1 and 2. This Friday and Saturday, along with a one-night hotel stay, just text TAKE IT BACK to 68683. TAKE IT BACK to 68683 for your chance to watch your Houston Astros take it back. This Houston Astros playoff giveaway brought to you by Cordell D'Artes, State Farm Insurance Agent, and 103.7 The Game. Boy, we got a big, big high school football matchup this Friday. The Catholic High Bears out of Baton Rouge, 4-0, ranked number 2 in Class 5A, traveling to St. Thomas More to take them on. St. Thomas More is 4-0, and they are number 1 in Class 4A. So you got two teams very, very well coached, and that ought to be a heck of a game. And you can listen to that game right here on 103.7 The Game on Friday, part of our high school football coverage in Acadiana. Should be a great one. All right, time for our daily history lesson. On this day, September 30th, the year was 1972. The late, great Roberto Clemente hit a double for the 3,000th and final hit of his career. He died in a plane crash on December 31st, 1972, while en route to deliver aid to earthquake victims in Nicaragua. He was 38 years old. At his 3,000th hit, his last at bat ever, the great Roberto Clemente, on this day, September 30th, 1972. If today is your birthday, I've got to give a happy belated birthday to the best girl in the world. She is now 12. Caroline Grace Hultberg celebrated a birthday. And we had some fun, and she is just awesome in so many ways. So happy birthday to Caroline. Happy birthday to 38-year-old Dominique Moceneo, the gymnast who won the Olympic gold medal in 1996. So happy birthday to them, and happy birthday to all of you. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. Hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. So we know LSU plays at 11. We know next week LSU, Florida in Tiger Stadium, 7 p.m. We know the Raging Cajuns won. They'll be off this weekend. They'll play Wednesday night against App State at Cajun Field. Fans, come on now. Show up. And we know that the Saints found a way to win defensively, and Will Lutz's 4 field goals, 12-10 over the Cowboys, sent them back. So we've beaten Texas. I mean, we've beaten Dallas. We've beaten them all. Yeah, Tulane beat Houston. We just own the state of Texas right now. Special thanks to our guest, Bob Rose, Canal Street Chronicles, Nick Fontenot, the advertiser, Ole Cassell at the Bird Rights, talking NBA hoops, Brooks Cabina of The Advocate, and Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated. Thanks to my producer extraordinaire, Clint Domain, for hustling and getting all that sound of Sean Payton and Teddy Bridgewater and Ed Orgeron and Billy Napier. Great job, CD. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of you for listening in. Don't forget about DC's Little Capital X on I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Bro Bridge. It's my go-to stop when I'm traveling from Baton Rouge to Lafayette and back. They've got that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner. You can get fried shrimp for breakfast if you want to. You can get eggs and bacon. They're open 20 all the time. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, fresh off the grill. Good to order, good to go. DC's Little Capital X on I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Bro Bridge. Thanks to all of our partners that make it possible. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4 p.m. Same great station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Until then, from all of us to all of you, stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.